Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Dog was an unclean animal when it came to Levitical law, and cutting a dog's neck in half was an abomination. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood, and you could not get any worse than that. An abominable animal being offered to God. He's basically saying here, I hate your religion.
No.
I want you to come to me with what? Humility, and fear that I will turn into love.
This whole verse right here makes me think of him actually pointing it out to the ones who are going to try to re-implicate the sacrifice and stuff like that, because you know they're going to try it.
Well, they do. Christ administers it during the millennial period.
Right. Now,
as a final straw.
With full on right now. But what I'm seeing here is God's talking to these people that are going through the motions of everything because Christ had already come at this point. Like, Christ is established at this point in the book, right? And these people are still trying to sacrifice or still trying to do things. So therefore, their sacrifice is no longer a sacrifice. It becomes a murder or a killing.
Yeah.
Goes down through the...
Yeah, and this is basically referencing the time of Christ coming and they're deciding not to. They would rather have the law.
Right.
This last portion of verse 3. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Yeah, exactly. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When Christ came, the Jews turned him away. When I spake, they did not hear. When he preached in the synagogue, they threw stones at him. They did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. I just can't help but believe right there that reference is, that's Christ talking, they did evil before my eyes. I was standing there talking and they wouldn't hear. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. I'm going to read that one more time. Verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, you who are humble and recognize God, your brethren that hated you, they cast you out for my name's sake? Ah, is that the religious guys?
Oh, yeah. You can't be in here.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got some kind of special communications with God. It has nothing to do with the temple organization we got here. Throw him out.
Yeah.
Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy. And they shall be ashamed, because they will know one day when it's too late, and we got to go back to the description of hell over here to tie these two together. They will know at that time everything that they knew when God said, I knew you before I placed you in the womb. And the utter remorse will come over them. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies.
A voice from the Lord.
Yep.
Wait, so he's got several voices.
Yeah. A voice of the Lord. Yeah. Oh, and he does.
Right.
Got many thunders. All sorts of things.
Absolutely. But I just thought that was neat, though.
Rendereth recompense. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith thy God, he's talking about prophecy here. I'm going to start back in 7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man's child. Before she travailed, before she suffered, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man's child. Talking about Christ, nation of Israel, Christ being born, being risen up to 30 years old, and his ministry, because the pain didn't come until 70 AD. She'd been through all sorts of tribulations because punishments, not tribulations, all sorts of punishments of God, because she didn't, the nation of Israel did not follow him with all their heart. This pain that he's talking about here is when the Roman Empire comes in 70 AD. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who hath heard such a thing? Question mark. Has there ever been anything like this in the world? Who hath seen such a thing? No one has ever seen anything as amazing as God's Son coming. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? No. Question mark. Or shall a nation be born at once? Quite impossible, you would think. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Am I going to prophesy all of these things and not make it happen, God says? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith God, do I come right up to the point of delivering Messiah and just decide not to? No. My promises are eternal. My prophecies become truth. Verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for love, for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations. Ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall born upon her sides and be dangled upon her knees. There is a whole lot of information in there for you Christians that do not like the Jews and do not like the Jewish nation. God saying the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. If you love the Lord, you need to love the Jews. This Bible says it over and over again. Support the Jews. Verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. Who is he talking to? All ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Now these are not the Jews. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations. You know what the consolation prize was? Christ said, go and get the others. The greatest did not want me. Go get the others. Mm-hmm. As a consolation prize, the Gentiles were brought in. You will suck of the milk that was given to her. Because she didn't want it. And ye may milk out. You know what that means? It's you get it all. Yeah. I used to milk cows when I was a kid. I milked 80 cows every morning before school. Take 8 or 10 minutes to milk out an old cow. They got a lot of milk in them.
Right.
He doesn't just say you may suck. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations. And ye may milk out. You can get it all.
Yeah.
And be delighted with the abundance of her glory. And the only glory that has any value is the glory of God through the salvation of Jesus Christ. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. If you are a Christian, you are commanded to love the Jewish people. You would be a fool not to, because it brings great blessings. And ye shall suck. Ye shall be born upon her sides. He's talking about us Gentiles now. And be dangled upon her knees. And that's describing A mother who is breastfeeding her child holds them on the side and then dangles them on the knees with great care because of the love that you're going to display to the nation of Israel. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. And we're talking about last days, wrath of God there. Isaiah is all over the place all the time. You got to look for the subtle change of hundreds of years sometimes and changes of dozens of years sometimes. You cannot just read it thinking these last three verses were chronological in time period, but they were not. They could span millennia. Mm-hmm. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many in the day, great day of judgment. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. That's an interesting thing there. Verse 17, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Talking about religious cults there. They that sanctify themselves and religion. The only way you can sanctify yourself in thought, not in actuality, is with religion. Oh, I'm holy. I've done this. I'm commanded to make a sacrifice today. I made three just for good measure. I'm ultra holy today. And purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree. That's an interesting phrase there, because trees are often in place of man, mm-hmm. behind one man. What one entity is he talking about there? That possibly the one world religion under the Antichrist? I think it's multifold in its talking. Could be a cult following of one man or one type of religion or the Antichrist himself. Regardless, he's not talking about someone who follows God with all their heart. He's talking about people who use religion in all sorts of fashion to sanctify themselves. In the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. And you know what? Don't let that eating swine's flesh scare you. Because in Christ, Paul says, all things are legal. And this is well known. This is referring back to a time when swine's flesh was an abomination to any type of Jew. So it's the only applicable type of meat to put there to just show what God is trying to bring forward. Mm-hmm. So you can still have your bacon on your biscuit in the morning. And I promise you, God is not going to throw you in hell for it, okay? Yeah. All right. Shall be consumed together, saith the Lord, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues. They shall come and see my glory. And we've just flipped right into the millennial period here from the wrath of God. And there's just a year or two between those. That wasn't a big leap. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations. There's the people that I tell you about all the time that will survive the last half of the tribulation period and go into the millennial period. Not all of them knowing who Christ is, not all of them even understanding who God is, even through the great reflection period right at the end of God's wrath. And let's see what he's going to do with them. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, and that draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, and have not heard my fame. Interesting. We're going to go into the millennial period, and there's going to be millions of people still on this earth same earth, God hadn't recreated it yet, it's 1,000 years in the future, that do not know me, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. They shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon the horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord, I will establish the law again, Christ says, in the first portion of the millennial period, because the law is a guidepost to show you who God is. It was never meant as a cleansing instrument. It was meant to show you who God is, to teach you about God. And you could graduate from the law by following him with all your heart. He's going to administer it to all of these millions of people who have survived. And the Jews will be the head kingdom in the millennial time. And he says, I will call all these nations who do not know of my fame and have never seen my glory. I will bring them when the Jews come and bring their first sacrifice into the temple. Because the Jews loved the law, so they're going to have to live under it for a while until they fully understand, hey, I can trump this law just the way the Messiah did, by following God with all my heart. Verse 21, and I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Apparently, during the millennial period, you can see all of those who are cast into hell. Daily, if you wish to look. It's going to be an interesting time of learning. And the law will be there for a purpose of cleansing all of humanity that's still alive. And that's what God's basically right here. He says, I'm going to lay down the law and I'm going to cleanse all of any evil that still exists. And at the end of the 1,000 years, when Satan is released again for a short time to tempt the nation, because everyone must make a choice, and there's a lot of people there. And we've talked about this all the time, how all the aborted babies, how all the children who die before they understand, adults that die before without ever hearing about God, they will have a chance to be tested there. Satan will be released, he'll tempt the nations, and Christ will finally put all evil down, bind and seal Satan away in the bottomless pit, the lake of fire at that time, and turn over all power and authority back to the Father. Isaiah is an amazing book. It's been a wild time. I feel like I've run a race, but it's good to be here with you on WBFF 97.7 Between the Lines with Jonathan and David, and I'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.